Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today. I hope that you've been having a great day. It's a beautiful day here. It's nice and warm as I'm filming this today. The sun shines out, and certainly we have the southern exposure makes it bright out here, but it's a beautiful day, and I hope that you're able to enjoy this day. I hope you've been looking forward to this time. I always do, and I've been especially looking forward to today as we draw near to the celebration of our Lord's birth. And I do hope that you have a wonderful celebration with family, friends, a wonderful time of worship. And I want us to take our time today to take a break from our study through the book of Psalms to prepare our hearts to worship and to celebrate our Lord's birth. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given to us. Lord, just the opportunity to know you. Father, especially today, Lord, as we draw near to the day that we remember the birth of our Savior. Father, prepare our hearts, Lord. Father, may it be a joyful celebration, but also, Lord, just a time of deep and wonderful worship. Father, speak to us as we're here today before you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm sure that probably all of us are trying to get ready for Christmas. Many of you are probably cooking or cleaning, preparing for guests to come, or perhaps preparing to go visit guests, doing all the things that you need to do. And probably in the midst of all that, you're still doing the preparation of gifts, possibly still thinking about gifts to purchase, ordering them, buying them, wrapping them, hiding them, trying to remember where you've hidden them. Wonderful time. I have always enjoyed that aspect. Obviously, as a child, look forward to the gifts every Christmas. I remember this time of the year, I'd be counting down the days and then the hours until Christmas. Then as I became an adult, I enjoyed even more now. Trying to think of the right gift for those individuals. Looking for it, researching it, ordering it, or going and purchasing it, and hiding it, and wrapping it, and just watching their face on Christmas Day when they get to open it up. It's always a joy, to give gifts to our family and our friends. But, you know, as we think about the giving of gifts at Christmas, the gifts that we give and the actual act of giving cannot begin to compare with the act of giving that we remember as we celebrate the birth of our Lord. And as we think about the act of giving and the gift itself, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture, actually one verse, and then we'll make application from another verse, that we're probably familiar with, but don't necessarily think about it or read it at Christmas. And yet it so beautifully illustrates and demonstrates the real meaning of Christmas. And the verse, in fact, is found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And you no doubt have heard it many times, may even, in fact, have it memorized. And though you may never really have thought about it as a, quote, Christmas verse, as we look at it today, I think you'll conclude it very much is a Christmas verse. But you think about what we see, and we'll simply work our way through this verse. As we begin looking at Romans 5:8, the first thing that I want us to look at is the giver of the gift. That is the one who actually gave the gift. I know we can all look back at times, you know, who gave us what, and many times the giver actually makes the gift all the more significant. But you think about who gave this gift that prompted our gift giving at Christmas. Again, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we see the very first part of the verse. But God. God was the giver of the gift. The eternal, sovereign, almighty, righteous, holy God. God chose to give. And you just think about that for a moment. God chose to give. You know, if you have some gift that was given to you by some very significant person, they may be significant to you because of emotional reasons or sentimental reasons, or they may have had positions of power or influence, and yet they remembered you at a special time, maybe at Christmas. that makes that gift, as special as it may be in and of itself, really all the more special. And yet there's no one who could ever equal God, and yet it is God who chose to give. The eternal God, and that makes that gift all the more meaningful. That makes that gift, in fact, a miracle. That makes that gift, in fact, unique. You know, we give a gift, we hope it's special, or people think it's thoughtful, you know, that we gave to them. But God gave. That's an incredible thought. But we not only think about the giver of the gift, but we have to think about the recipients of the gift. Well, since God gave the gift, well, who did he give it to? Again, obviously still in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, God gave to sinners. You know, how different. When you and I give gifts, we give gifts to those individuals who, you know, family, friends, people who, you know, we have a mutual love and support for, people who, you know, who we deeply cherish, and we want to express that in some way. And yet here's God that we just talked about, holy, pure, and righteous. And who does God give a gift to? Fallen, depraved sinners. Like you, like me. Who are sinners not just because we've done bad things, committed acts of sin, but our whole heart is that of sin. Our whole bent is towards sin. And yet God chose to give to us sinners. That's an incredible thought. The giver of the gift makes it amazing. The recipients of the gift make it amazing. But then we look at the beauty of the gift itself. You know, I'm sure I do, and I'm sure you do as well, love when you give a gift for that person to look at and say, man, this is perfect. This is beautiful. This is what I've always wanted, one of these. But you know, our gifts, no matter how thoughtful they may have been, no matter how much we may have brainstormed for just the right thing for that person, can't begin to compare with the gift that our Lord gave. And you think about it. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ, there is the gift itself, and you think about the beauty of it. God's only begotten Son, and the significance of that is God himself. When we talk about God the Son, we're not talking about God second class. He is, in fact, God. Co-equal, co-existent with God. Always has been, from eternity past, always will be. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One God, three persons, when you add in the Holy Spirit and remember Him. It is, in fact, you think about the beauty of the gift, God's only begotten Son. And God gave him the way in which he became man in every single way. Jesus was a man. He was all God, but he became all man. And he wasn't less God because he became man, and he wasn't less man because he was all God. You think of the beauty of that gift. What an amazing, incredible gift. But then we stop and we ponder, you know, what this giving really means. As we look at number 4, the cost of the gift. Now, we all know about the cost of gifts, especially this year. And even more as we start, you know, trying to think about buying gifts that will last, have meaning for years to come. Nothing in comparison to the cost of God's gift. And you think about it as we see again in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, and here comes the cost, Christ died for us. The gift of God's Son was not just at the manger. It was Calvary, where Jesus died upon the cross for our sins so he could arise again to give us eternal life. But the cost of God's gift was in fact the life, death, and ultimately, yes, the resurrection of his only begotten Son. What an incredible, costly gift. We can never imagine how much that cost. And that's in fact the real Christmas message. That God gave His Son to live, die, and rise again for us. That child who was born in the manger, or born in the manger there at Bethlehem, was in fact born for the sole purpose of going to the cross for our sins. What a costly gift. But then we have to ask ourselves the question, but how does that gift become personally applicable to me? How do I receive that gift? Well, we go back up to, still in Romans 5, and you think about what we read in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified, that is, made right with God, declared right with God, by God Himself, by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How? By faith. That means complete trust, complete reliability, complete dependence. You know, when I film these devotions, I'm sitting in a rocking chair that was given to me as a gift, in fact, by Jane in Remington. And you know, you notice that I just come out here and I just sit in the chair. I'm not trying to hold myself up. I don't have a rope or something that or something over here I'm bracing myself on, or the handrail trying to frantically hold myself up. My whole weight, trust, and dependence is on this chair, that it's going to hold me up. That's what it means to believe in Christ. We put our complete faith, trust, and dependence upon Him and Him alone for our salvation, knowing that we're sinners who cannot save ourselves. Remember, the recipients of the gift. But God so loved us, remember, He's the giver, who gave that beautiful gift of His Son so that He would die and rise again. And we trust Him and Him alone for our salvation. We put our complete weight, trust, and dependence upon Him. I want you to think with me, have you honestly trusted Christ? Have you truly received that gift? You know, in a few days, and you may be exchanging gifts with people now. You know, if someone, you know, brought you a gift, what do? Don't you just thank them and accept it? I mean, don't sit there and think, now, are you really giving this to me? Should I really take this? You know, do you really, or is this a real offer? No. You trust that they're giving it to you and you receive it. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you received God's gift by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? By just simply going to Him in prayer, acknowledging the fact that you are a sinner, in your heart and in your actions, and there's no way you could ever, ever, ever make yourself right with God. But that you know that Jesus, God's only Son, lived, died, and rose again for you. And that you receive Him as your Savior and you put your faith and trust and confidence in Him. You know, I hope you get some wonderful gifts in a few days, if you haven't already. But I hope more than anything, you truly receive this gift and put your faith and your trust and your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because that would be the best celebration of Christmas that you could ever have. That is the best celebration, the best gift, most beautiful gift, most costly gift ever given. Because it came straight from the wonderful giver, the Almighty God, unto sinners like us. And I hope that you have received that gift. If you have, I hope you'll make it your desire to share that so that others may know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And as you go through these days, I hope that you truly worship and celebrate and thank God for His wonderful gift. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Oh Lord God, for the gift of Your Son, for the salvation that You've made possible. And Father, through these days, may we worship You and adore You and praise You. And oh Lord, my God, may we truly share You with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I hope that you do have a wonderful Christmas. Yes, with family, friends, all the festivities that go along with it. But I hope more than anything that you truly worship and give thanks to our Lord for His wonderful gift.